Welcome to this week's episode of Azentuary. We left off last week, having made our way through the tunnels and chambers, finding ourselves in a room, domed, marked with columns and numbers. Barry decided, maybe this place to think. So his brain cells are feverishly working to start a fire.
Yeah. Me trying to figure out what numbers mean.
Yes, and for refresher, the numbers on the columns around the room were 9, 2, 10, and 4, and they were written in multiple different hieroglyphs from different languages up each column.
Yes.
This seems like a stupid people room. Who writes things onto a column?
People that want to be remembered oftentimes. But this looks more like a riddle. Me not real good with riddles.
Apparently neither are these stupid people that had to write things down. Otherwise they wouldn't have had to write it.
Yes, not really helpful right now, Poplart.
Obviously wasn't very helpful back then either, otherwise they wouldn't have had to write stuff down to solve their problems.
Alright. So, so we have columns, runes, what else do we see in this room?
It has the kind of a large dome shape, and you don't really know. Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of what you could roll here to give you more information. I mean, you could investigate, you could do a history check, you could do a number of things to, you know, try and figure out more.
All right. Me try history. me roll 2, and then me have to take away 1, which means me get 1. So me fail history.
Yeah, you're like, I have no idea. You're completely stumped.
Yes, me going to go sit in corner and contemplate.
Oh, no.
Me going to figure out riddle.
Spontaneously, a fire erupts.
No, me not have enough fuel for fire.
You call it contemplating, do you?
No, the brain cells, the two brain cells in Barry's brain rub together with such force that a fire spontaneously erupts in front of him.
Yeah. all right. So me think. Anybody else have any ideas while me sitting and thinking?
Poplart goes up and starts poking the columns.
Okay. You poke it. It feels like it's stone.
Stupid columns.
Like I said, there's other checks you could roll. Other people could roll checks. There's...
What if I just destroyed it? I wouldn't. But I'm not saying I wouldn't think of it.
It's possible. You could do that.
Well, no. I'll let these idiots have their fun first. However, I don't think we'll get very far with the riddle. Can I roll a history to check to see if I remembered anything my tutor taught me when I wasn't paying attention?
Absolutely.
History check? Would I have a +0 on? I rolled a 3.
Yep, you definitely weren't paying any attention that day.
This just reassures me that I did a good job in wasting my parents' money.
Hoplite rolls an insight to see if he can recollect anything, and he gets a 9.
Insight. You think about it, and it seems a 9. You remember your family sticking you in a small dark box as a child. One you had to stand in.
Seems.
Wait, I'm back. Sorry, I have. Remember your family sticking you in a small, and then I.
Oh.
It seems very appropriate.
A small dark
for...
box that you had to stand in.
Oh, okay. That seems very appropriate for Poplart's cognitive capabilities.
Hmm.
All right. Poplart takes his dagger out and stabs the stone pillar.
Okay. Roll to hit, I guess.
All right.
That's 5e. Everything has a yes. AC.
That's a, what are you saying about? 24 to hit.
Oh, yeah, you bury your dagger down into it, and it chips off a piece of the carved edifice and revealing more chipped broken stone underneath. And you disfigure, oh, let's say, 3 of the glyphs in the process.
Aha! See? These things aren't even that special. Why are we so focused on these? Stupid pillars.
It looks like a spider, right?
The ceiling kind of does, and yeah, the columns, there's like... The 4 columns are kind of legs, but with their other legs kind of on the walls beyond that to make all 8 of them.
Can I fly up and investigate the ceiling?
Yes. Roll to investigate.
5. I'm great at rolling things.
It looks like a mural. Like, yep, that looks like a spider.
I'm just gonna keep up on the ceiling, I guess, because I don't know what else to do.
Well, as you're looking around, roll a perception check.
Great. Actually, that was better than investigation. 5. I cannot roll for the life of me.
Yeah, you don't notice anything. You're like, yep, interesting. This is a mural.
Poplite flies up and carves a smiley face into the spider face area.
Okay.
Well, it seems now very foreboding right now. Check. Perception? 16.
Yep. So you carve that and you, like, turn to smile and, like, point to the guys like, hey, check this out. And you notice from the top of the room looking down that it looks almost like the spikes of an Iron Maiden pointing up at you. All the glyphs and runes have a shape to them that point up at you.
Well, that's not very welcoming. Poplart calls out and says, hey guys, this room seems very hungry.
And as a side note, for Foxglove, when you were entranced at the beginning of something that happened, I think it was last episode, you ran the opposite direction of the party. And you did pass by a, like, berry-sized Iron Maiden in the tunnels.
Sacrifice.
Does Foxglove say anything to the rest of the party?
I'm filing my nails right now. I don't really care.
I mean, you guys did also see it, but she happened to have been, like, right there in front of it most recently. You guys passed by it when you came in.
Oh, okay.
It's a good thing we have memories like steel traps.
And since, you know, Poplar didn't actually say this place kind of looks like an Iron Maiden, none of the rest of the party is going to make that connection.
Oh, Poplar said the place looks hungry.
Yes, yes, but that's not... Yeah, it's not going to help.
Meanwhile, there's this thing called the Sarlacc Pit.
Yeah. It's not going to help us make the connection to the Iron Maiden in the hallway somewhere.
Well, that sounds like a you problem. I'm just communicating what I see.
No, I understand. Yeah, I'm just sitting here going, Okay. All right, well, I guess since none of us can really figure anything else out in this room, we must go back way we come.
Darn our minuscule brains.
So are we in the hexagonal room right now?
If you were in the room adjacent to it, to the west of it. So if you go back through the archway, you go into the hexagonal room.
Got it. All right. Well, I guess we do that then. Unless somebody else has anything else they want to do with this room.
No. I mean, I rolled a 7 and a 5, so, you know.
Alright, me guess we go back.
Okay. You walk into the hexagonal room. There's the passageway you came in, going out to the east, and a unopened door to the south.
Alright, I guess we try south.
Okay. You go down and you find a simple wooden door.
Ah, our greatest enemy.
Door.
Me try door. See if it's locked.
It is not locked. It moves about 3 inches and then it's stuck.
All right. Me put shoulder to door and push really hard.
Strength check.
Sixteen.
Oh, yep. You push that thing right open, revealing a room beyond. It's about 30 foot square, and there's a raised area in the middle, about 10 feet square. It just pops up about 6 inches. There doesn't appear to be anything on it. It's just there.
Okay. Me walk around outside of room, see if me notice anything on walls.
Okay. You do that, and you do not see anything in particular. They seem relatively... like, benign. There's just kind of nothing there. You work your way around, and you get up to the northeastern corner on the east, the wall facing east, and you do find there is a doorway that has become obscured by dust. And it is there. It's another door just like the one you came through.
All right.
Flush to the wall.
Yeah. First, me take a close look at a raised platform.
Okay, roll investigate, I guess.
It's not going to turn out well.
It never does.
Yeah. Me get 5.
Yeah, it's a raised platform.
All right. Me jump on raised platform.
Okay, you jump up on the platform, and where is everyone else? just kind of around it next to you.
Yeah, watching Barry.
If it explodes, I'm right here. Yeah.
Okay.
Hoplite's not really one known for jumping, so.
That's fine. I need everyone to make a dex save.
Oh, darn it, we missed a dex save. Oh, no, I only got 27.
Okay, I got a nat 20. Let's go.
Show
on
off.
The roll that didn't matter.
Foxglove gets a 15.
Me also get nat 20.
Oh, my God. wow. I'm sorry, Foxglove. You're the only one that's gonna have an issue here.
Oh, boy.
I was too focused filing my nails.
Yeah, you're filing your nails, and so what happens is Barry jumps up, and at first all you guys hear is a grinding, but then you see movement overhead, and Barry, you jump to the side. Poplart jumps to the side, though he gets hit by some debris. Everyone else jumps completely out of the way, except for Foxglove, who gets crushed by basically the print of the ceiling falling down on top of her.
Great.
Yep, and when it comes down, that's what causes there's a bunch of rock that shatters and flies up and just peppers Poplart like a shotgun.
Ah, like a fox in a glove.
Yeah, so... Oh, God. Foxglove, you take... Oh, God. I'm cutting this in half. This is ridiculous. You take 22 blunt force damage, and Poplart, you take 11.
Wait, let me double check something really quick. What level are we again?
6, I think.
Oh, yeah. No! I'm one level off from being able to negate everything entirely. Damn me and my elfish inadequacies.
Well, I'm impressed at everyone else pulling that off. That was pretty good. You guys got right out of there.
Wee.
The smell of slightly singed brownies wafts through the air, and Poplart goes, ow.
All right. Well, me thinks that was a big mistake on me part.
Yes. And then he goes, thanks, Barry.
Me bad.
No, you good. Just this bad.
Alright, me go try door now.
Oh, it swings open easily.
Yep. Alright, me go through door.
Okay, it heads to the east, turns south, and then east again, and you find yourself in the long north-south corridor that you had come down originally.
Okay. All right. So does it basically kind of end in a T-junction then, or just basically go to... Okay. And which direction have we already come from?
So the entrance to this whole system is to the south. And the hex room and where you found your ogre buddy is to the north. Oh, the ogre buddy! We need to roll him!
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah, he also fails. He takes 22 damage.
Does he die?
I don't think so.
Walk it off, buddy. You're okay. You're fine. It's just a mild concussion. You'll be okay. I'm a great employer.
Yeah, you are.
I mean, I keep getting dumb people to sign my contracts.
Owl Safety and Health Let's Administration see. Approved.
They should have read him.
Yeah, he's all right. He's still doing okay. He lost about, in total, he's at half life basically right now.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, so he's kind of limping along, like, we don't feel so good.
You're okay. You know, if any of these people actually read the contract, they'd know. I offer dental, but any other injuries you take on the job, I do not take responsibility for. It's part contract, part waiver, so, like...
There you go.
I'm just taking advantage of dumb people, alright?
Yeah, true capitalist.
I know.
Alright, so, where are you guys going from here?
Me not sure. I guess go head back to hexagonal room.
Okay. So, sure. You walk back up to the hexagonal room.
Was there another passage going off, like, the northwest?
No, you went through it. That's where you had found the domed room with the spider mural.
Oh, okay. I thought there was another one. I thought this domed room was southwest. All right. Okay. All right, well, I guess me turn around and go back the other way.
Okay. Back towards the entrance?
Yeah, I'm assuming.
Okay, so you follow that corridor down, and you first reach the T-junction with the magic pool to the north, and to the south is another T-junction that goes east-west.
Okay, and we haven't done we haven't done the east-west yet?
You have been to the one to the east, because if you go down to the end of the one to the east, it takes you to the stairway you use to get into here, and the first little room you'd went into.
Okay, I guess me try west corridor now.
All right, so you turn to the west, and you are face to face with the big, berry-sized Iron Maiden.
Oh, yeah. Me decide to take a look at Iron Maiden.
Okay. You gonna roll to investigate this one?
I guess.
Roll to investigate the maiden.
Me roll 4 minus 3 is 1.
Yeah, you don't notice anything in here. You're looking around at it. You're like, looks sharp.
Get in, Barry. For science.
I think it's closed.
Not for long.
Well, I figured it was, like, partially open, so you could kind of see that it was spiky.
Okay, well. Yeah, anyone else like to investigate? Because I'm obviously drawing a blank here.
I'm going to have a minus 2, but sure, I like weapons of torture. Apparently not enough, I rolled a 7.
yeah, you notice a couple, like, weird abnormalities, you know, some areas that are unusually designed, but other than that, nothing in particular jumps out.
Are you going to pay me to investigate?
The treasure we collect on these jaunts should be more than enough payment for you.
Get the Iron Maiden.
Me have feeling.
Then you investigate yourself, dummy.
Me already did. Me not notice anything.
Well, then we can move on. Isn't that lovely?
Ow, you are really pulling your weight. Does your back hurt with how much you're carrying this team?
Of course, obviously, always.
Oh, I recommend a balm for that. It really helps out a lot.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Always here to help.
Pop alert, you want to investigate? See if you notice anything?
Pop alert looks at it closely and goes, That's a 15.
Oh, well, you look and you're like, there's like dials right here, guys. Like, the little round things that you can turn.
Well, there are spinny things on the side with little whatchamacallits next to the thingamajigs.
They look like little sundials almost.
Yeah, those things.
This kind of looks like it might be fun to me.
At least it's fun to one of
me
us.
Me try, you know, playing with dials.
Okay, what are you going to do with them?
Oh, me just kind of spin one at random and see what it does.
Right. Well, it spins around, and you notice that as you're spinning it, it ticks through about 12 different positions. So it doesn't just freely spin. It's like it's meant to be stopped in certain spots.
Oh, right. Let's see. Me thinking.
Given what happened the last time Barry was trying stuff out, Poplart just kind of makes some space between him and Barry, just in case.
Me go, hey, Grimmel, do you remember numbers in that weird spider room? What was first number?
I think it was less than 10. Can I roll a history check?
Sure.
8.
Oh, God. You're like, no, I don't remember.
It was a single digit. That's all I can tell you.
All right.
Will?
I have an idea. Game Master. Let's rely on Poplite's luck, randomly spinning dials.
Sure, roll me a 1d100.
84.
84. That doesn't work.
Was worth a shot.
Yeah. Definitely worth a shot.
Yeah, all right. Me thinking really, really, really hard. You seem to remember first number me Grimmel when he first read it, I think it might have been 9. Me going to, you know, click 9 times.
Okay. You click it over to 9.
Dial. Yeah.
On the first dial. Yeah, and you click it into 9 and you feel it like almost rest there, like it wants to be there.
No. Me feeling very encouraged. Me think some more. Me giving myself headache.
Isn't this room just really close to the whole pillar room?
No, it's way far away.
Oh, never mind.
Like opposite corners of your dungeon.
Me give myself 2 points of damage. Me thinking so hard, but me seem to remember.
Okay. Sure, I'll give you that.
We seem to remember second number is 2. So me click second dial.
Cool.
All right. Does this also feel encouraging?
It does.
All right. Me on roll here. Me try really, really hard to remember next number. Me look at both hands and count fingers, which is really hard, but me count at 10, and that sounds familiar, so me turn third dial to 10.
Yep. and you feel it kind of sink in.
Me pump this in air and go, "Wah! Yeah, me smart." And then me think last number matches number of arms and legs me have. So me think last number may be, it's either two again, maybe four. Me try two.
And it doesn't work. It just, you click to two and nothing happens.
Okay. And me try four.
All right, well, you click it to four, and the two front panels, they just kind of slump open, and you see that there's a split down the back that also kind of slumps open in the opposite direction. And you realize this is a passageway.
Oh, me very excited. Okay. Me duck through Iron Maiden and into passage.
I mean, I suppose we should follow him in here. Right. I mean, I'm not really sure what Barry's doing right now, but seems like a good way to go.
All right. Well, you duck in and you find yourself in a long room. It's kind of almost hard to see, almost magically dark. But it's like 1, 2, 3, like about, it's probably 70 feet long and 30 feet wide. And there is a passage out the west about midway down the far wall. But you hear something, a hiss coming from the farthest corner all the way on the south of the room. You walk into the northeast corner of the room on the east side.
Mama always said, never trust the Midwest. So I don't think we should go to the Middle West.
I don't think that's what she meant, but I like the way you think.
Are you disrespecting my mama?
No, I'm not disrespecting your mama. I'm disrespecting you.
I mean, it's okay if you do. She wasn't exactly the greatest mama in the world, but, I mean, she was all right. I don't really have much of a benchmark for how mamas are judged.
I just don't like people in general. Your mother isn't special in that regard.
Aw, that's nice to hear.
I don't know how I'm supposed to be approaching this to annoy you the most, so I guess I'm just going to move on.
Poplite likes you. It's really hard to annoy him.
I know, that's what's so infuriating.
Aw, he loves you too.
Anyways...
All right, me open up me divine sense.
Okay. You sense there is something evil making its way to you.
Oh. Me say, all right, get ready, team. Something evil this way comes. And then me get out me sword.
That's a really good statement, Barry. You should copyright that.
So from the end of the room you see movement. It's these shapes come out of the walls and start moving towards you. The first, it looks like a humanoid, skinny but with elongated fingers that have been like stretched into claws and toenails that have been sharpened to points, and flanked to his left and right are more normal looking humans, but whose flesh has been removed or desiccated away, and they're left only with some bandages around their arms and legs, eyes glowing with a bright blue.
They seem friendly.
Hey, buddies.
All right.
How you doing?
Do me get sense that they are undead?
You do.
All right. Me take an action and present me holy symbol and speak a prayer, censuring the undead.
Okay. What is it I roll against that?
a wisdom saving throw. If the creature fails its saving throw, it is turned for 1 minute or until it takes damage. Okay. So it has to spend its turns trying to move as far away from me as it can.
All right. Well, here, I will roll for, let's say, the first guard. We'll say there's a guard left and a guard right. The wisdom save on the first one is a 13, which I'm going to assume fails.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the saving is on that against a 6th level paladin.
Well, it should be your... well, here, I'll look it up real quick.
I'm going to assume it's around 15. Seems like a pretty average save.
Yeah, that would make sense. Trying to find it real quick.
Spell save is 15.
I think that's fair. That sounds good. So the first one fails. So he turns and runs. The second one does worse. He gets an 11, so he fails. And the third... Ooh, he got a 19. So he succeeds.
All right.
Barry, this is not how we make friends.
Poplarts, they look like they'd rather eat you than make friends with you.
Well, at least I'd be a friendly snack.
Well, it's up to you, I guess.
Oh, I suppose not. Poplart unsheathes his dagger.
Well, there's only that one left. And he, sensing that holy symbol, turns and actually flees down through the passage to the west. The other two ran to the back of the room, back into their holes that they had come out of.
All right.
You turned them back to walls.
See, Barry, this is why we can't have nice friends.
Freya told me that they were evil, which means they would not be nice friends anyway.
Freya's a spoil sport.
Freya's just trying to keep us from getting hurt. I mean, if you want, you can go back 2 holes in south of room there and try and shake their hands and make friends. Me not going
to
stop
you. No, but then I have to leave you guys. That just seems like a rude thing to do.
All right. Well, then, I guess follow me and we shall go to West Corridor.
All right. You charge through the West Corridor into a round room, probably 70 feet, 80 feet in diameter. There is a passage out to the south. You are entering from the east, and the creature you are chasing runs to the middle, and he bends down and slams his 2 fists into the ground. You then see the ground start to shake and move around him.
Oh, me not think this is friendly.
I mean, you could be wrong.
So what begins here is a scene from, like, Army of Darkness, where, you know, the arms shoot up out of the ground, one, then another, the foot occasionally, and you see those similar bandaged creatures start pulling themselves out of the earth or all around that first guy.
How many are we talking about?
6.
Alright. One second.
Barry, I don't like this. I don't think they're friendly after all.
I like how glowy their eyes are. I kind of want one.
Let's see. I was trying to think if there's some limit that I have for turning the unholy.
I don't think so. I think you can just try it.
Okay. Yep. Me try it again.
Okay. You channel that, and if I remember correctly, you don't have to, like, roll a proficiency or anything on that. You can just do it.
Yeah, I think so. It's part of the whole channel divinity thing.
All right. Well, you run in, channeling your divinity, holding out your holy symbol. You basically are chasing this guy. It's like that, oh god, what was that, Pope's Exorcist? It's like, take it up with my boss, the Pope. Right. And you run in and hold up that symbol. All right, so we're going to run through the guards really quick. The first one gets a 15. I'm assuming that's a save.
Yep.
All right, I'm just going to run down the list here and do saves and fails just because it's easier. Second one, 16. Third one, 18. Wow, I'm rolling well.
Oh, Jesus.
Surprise, surprise.
How badly the first one's failed. I got an 18 and then a nat 1.
Oh,
so so that one, he, instead of fleeing, he just flips himself completely around and starts burrowing back down into his own grave.
And that's hilarious. I like that.
So he's just like, ah, screw it, guys. I'm out. The next one fails and he starts to flee.
Nice.
And the last one fails, and he starts to flee.
Okay.
We'll say those are the two that were closest to the southern door, so they're just going to split.
All right. Fantastic.
Cowards.
Yep. Oh, and then the guy in the middle, I almost forgot about him. He succeeds with a 17.
All right. So we're facing four.
Five, I believe. Two.
No, you had three fail, and then the four save.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, four.
I mean, that's more than enough, considering our crew.
Oh, you'll be surprised. These guys are weak.
All right.
Anyway. So, Barry, you have gone. Does everyone else want to go ahead and roll initiative?
Boxglove gets a 10.
Or...
Bubbler
20. Seven. Oh, and I'll roll for the ogre real quick. He gets an 11. Alrighty. Let me do a quick sort here. Boom. Alright, Poplar. You go first.
Don't suppose there's anywhere I could hide around here, like behind Barry Big Man. Is there? All right, try to hide behind Barry with a 24.
Yeah, I'd say that works.
All right, then I attack. Aha! With,
Which one are you
17
shooting?
To hit.
Are you shooting one of the ones that rose, or...
The closest one.
Okay, the one of the risers then. Yes, you hit.
Aha! All right. That's, see here. 10 plus 26. That's 20
Dang.
Damage.
Yeah, you slap him and you blow a huge, like, Poplart head-sized hole through his chest as the flesh just disintegrates out and around. He's still standing, but you can tell you took out a big mass of his body. Alright. The next one up moves over to... Let's see, you guys are pretty much all together. I would say, coming into the room. See, Barry, you were kind of leading with Popwart now hiding behind you. But then there's, let's see, there's Grimmel, Foxglove, and the Ogre all to the side. I'm assuming the Ogre's at the back. Because he follows Grimmel. So let's see, going down the list. Looks like my roll of, I rolled a d6. Foxglove's the one he's going for. He does a, he attempts to claw at you. Ooh, that is a 22 to hit.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. I rolled an 18 with a plus 4. That's crazy. Sorry.
Where do you get your dice? I want those dice.
I have, this is the same dice that I have had for like 5 years, something like that. I bought some, a pack for the kids, and I've just been playing with them ever since.
Wow.
See, that's a problem. He's not playing with the dice I bought, everyone.
I use those when I'm a player character, and these are my DM dice.
That's what a gamer would want to say.
It works.
Yeah. Too well.
Oh, for you.
So you take 7 slashing damage, and... Oh, wait, you're an elf. So there is no and. You're actually safe from any other effects.
Yeah, 7 slashing damage is bad enough for her. She's already missing half of her hit points.
I know, but it would have been worse if she wasn't an elf. So she got lucky. Anyway, yeah. All right, it is the ogre's turn. He steps up, you know, stomps into the room. Let's see, what has he got? He's got his great club. And he sees that guy hit Foxglove. He's like, no, bad guy. And swings down for a 16 to hit, which certainly hits. And what does he do? The right dice for him. He does 10 damage to it, giving it a nice whack. All right, Foxglove, it is your turn.
All right. I'm trying to think if my rapier would be more useful or vicious mockery. I want to insult these pinheads already. I'm going to look at the nearest one that hasn't already been hit. And...
You might want a vicious mockery, the one that just hit you for 7. Because he's right next to you.
Oh, did he not die?
Don't think so. I think he took
10 damage. He's not dead. He just got hit pretty hard.
Alright, vicious mockery that one. Because I have a vendetta against him now. Alright. So you think you can just live again? Who do you think you are, getting all these second chances? You know, I don't really have anything to go with. Hang on, let me think of a better insult.
It's alright, his confusion is insulting enough.
And I thought the golem had erectile dysfunction, you with your limp dick.
Oh, ouch.
Oh.
That is a dirty 20 to hit.
Oh, it hits.
Very dirty 20.
Poor guy.
5 damage. That,
5 damage. Yeah, it does those 5, and you see a piece of flesh just like fall off of him and hit the ground. Right out of his loincloth.
All right. I'm going to also, with my bonus action, cast Bardic Inspiration on... Let's go with Grimmel.
Right on.
That's a nat 1, so I don't think that Bardic Inspiration is working.
Nope. In fact, you're bardically uninspired. I'm sorry, Grimmel. With that one, because what's your normal inspiration is like, what, a
d8? 1d8, yes.
D8. All right, we'll go the other way. We'll be like, on your next roll, Grimmel, you have to take 1d6 off whatever you roll.
You know what, Foxglove? Why don't you help me? You know what? Fine, I won't.
All right. Let's see. Well, that's all right, because it is the ghoul's turn. Let's see. It's one of the other ones. Got my little party set up here. So this one is from the behind, and he's going to go up. And he is going to the other side. Oh, he's going to the Grimmel side. All right. I've got a bunch of little electrical connectors on my desk as my level model for you guys. This is working great. Yeah. All right. So he goes for Grimmel, and he is going to make a claw attack. That is a 14 to hit.
Does, in fact, hit.
It does. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, then I need to do... He does 8 slashing damage, and I need you to make a constitution saving throw.
We're not saved from last... Like, we haven't taken a rest since last time, right?
Correct.
Alright, I'm unconscious. But well, I will do...
I thought we took a rest for me to meditate.
Oh, you did. Yeah, at the end of last time, I think you guys were trying to figure it out, and you were like, long resting this part.
I'm good then.
Figuring stuff out. Okay.
Alright, constitution check. Oh, come on! I keep rolling awful. I don't even have bad constitution, but I got 5.
You are paralyzed.
Great.
Alright, the next one from the back charges up. I will roll. Ooh, that one goes for Barry. Alright, he is going to use his claw in an attempt to get you, Barry, and he fails miserably, striking off your armor. I rolled a 2.
Yeah, fantastic.
Alright, so let's see. It would be Grimmel's turn, but Grimmel is paralyzed. Let's see.
Can I still use my turn to order Bruce to do something? Because I can do that, like,
mentally?
Yeah, mentally.
I will totally allow that, yes.
Alright. I tell Bruce to go for the eyes.
He, like, to leap at them?
Or, like, he's got a ton. I want one of those glowing eyes.
Okay. Let me look up the stats for him.
Yeah, I need to hold up too.
Alright, he doesn't really have attack stats. So, I guess it'll be he can leap at them, so you want him just to, like, leap at their head?
Sure.
Alright, let's see. Well, I rolled a 17, so... we'll say that hits. So he jumps up and hits the one in front of you right in the face, in the eye. He has a -5 strength, though, so he does, like, can't really do any damage, per se. But it's definitely a distraction. We'll say the guy is definitely distracted.
Good job, Bruce!
So, if someone goes to hit him, I'll give advantage on that hit. All right, and then finally, the guy in the middle makes his move forward. Let's see, 4 would have been a Poplart, but Poplart's hiding behind Barry, so he's going to also come up towards Barry, and...
Well, Poplart's actually visible right now. He only hides as a bonus action at the beginning.
Oh, well then
of
perfect.
His turn.
This guy is going to attempt to claw you, I guess.
Ah!
Yeah. So let's see. That one. Oh, wrong die. That is a 21 to hit.
Ah!
Are you slashing? Okay, so I gotta get the dice for that. And that is a 13 slashing damage, and I need you to make a constitution saving throw.
Uh-oh. Actually, Poplar has okay constitution, generally. Let's see if it actually holds up. That's a 16.
You are safe.
Yay!
All right. Now,
Hooray for Pop-Lart's horribly fragile body that gets bedded away easily and doesn't easily take stuff. Oh. Yay, and collaboratively that only brings me to half my hit points. Hurrah!
Alright, first off, Barry, it is your turn, but before you do anything, I need you to make a real quick constitution save.
Why? I wasn't hit with anything.
You were not, but you now have a horde of stinky undead around you.
Okay. Really? Alright. 10.
Yeah, it succeeds.
Oh, well, thank goodness for that.
Yep. Alright. The guy just smells real bad, that's all.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, me have to spend action to me gonna go over to where Grimmel is and touch Grimmel and cast Lesser Restoration.
Okay. You can do it.
Yep. Me get 19 on that.
Right, that's very good.
Yep, he no longer paralyzed.
Good.
And that is my action, so I think that's it for the turn.
Yeah, that is. All right. But, Pop-Lart, you can go.
All right. Pop-Lart tries to hide behind someone again.
I guess, yeah, you can hide behind the restorative might of Barry.
Yes, that was a 16 to hide. Am I hidden?
Ooh, that's a low one. Let's see.
Yeah, Pop-Lart did not roll very well that time.
Sorry, I have a lot of guys to get out of the perception of. And yes, you, strangely enough, are hidden. I rolled very low.
Aha! So he tries to... There's a guy right next to Barry, right? All right. So he pops out from behind Barry's shoulder and goes, "Aah!" and stabs the guy in the face or whatever.
Okay.
So that's 19 damage.
Good lord. Let's see, which one was this? We'll say it's this one that hasn't really taken any other damage. So yeah, you jam right into him and... You successfully do 19 damage to him. You like just rip his face open.
Like, "Meh!" And now Barry has a Pop-Lart on his shoulder.
All right.
Just imagine me like a little cat just crawling over Barry, like "Meh! Meh!"
All right. Well, then that one that was up with Foxglove is there, and he makes another attempt to claw and misses. He is so damaged he can't function. The ogre huffs and is like, "Ha ha, puny fool," and takes a swing and misses. What the heck? Okay, well, I guess Foxglove, it's you.
All right. Vicious mockery him again.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? He's not worth it. He's not worth another vicious mockery. Stab him through the heart with my rapier.
Right on. Go for it.
The 30-20. Mockery.
Oh, you stab right into him.
9 damage.
That... You, like, whip your rapier in and through so fast that it just severs his spine and he... falls to the ground dead.
Good.
Aha! The heartless fool!
Alright. Let's see. Alright. Oh, it's the one that just got stabbed in the face by Pop-Lart. He's reeling from this hit, and he takes a swipe, flailing his arms wildly. And rolls a... 13 to hit Pop-Lart.
That misses! Ha ha!
You did basically...
It glances off of Barry's armor.
I rip his face off. Alright, now we have... Oh, the distracted ghoul. Let's see. What does he try to do? He will attempt to... He will attempt to remove Bruce from his face. Yes, he knocks Bruce off and sends him flying to the ground. But that is his action. So, Grimmel, it is you.
I'm unparalyzed, right?
No, I unparalyzed
you. No, Barry restored you.
That's what I asked. I said unparalyzed.
I said unparalyzed.
Yes, you're unparalyzed.
You are paralyzed un.
All right. I feel like out of sheer rage at seeing Bruce getting thrown, I launch myself at that guy's face that just threw Bruce and just start, pecking his eyes out.
Okay. I rolled a hit.
Five, because I can't roll for crap!
Yeah, you throw yourself at him.
That's with bonuses?
It must be. Well, 13. Yeah, he successfully prevents you from doing that. I just strength checked him for fun, and yeah, he just, stops you.
Well.
Imagine, a zombie hand on the head with the owl going.
Exactly. All right. Well, I guess it's that last guy who then he... I don't know. Yeah, the other one. Oh, yeah, the one that was going after Barry last time. Let's see. He will again... Actually, let's see. Yeah, well, he sees Poplard up there. So he's going to take a slash at Poplard's after seeing Barry's armor. That is a 15 to hit.
That does not hit. Poplar ducks behind Barry, and the blade glances off of
Very
Barry's
nice.
Armor.
All right.
And Poplar goes, ha-ha!
Cool. Well, Barry, it's your turn.
All right. which creature is the highest challenge rating?
Let's see. That would be the guy that's right in front of you.
All right. Let me take a mighty swing at guy in front of me with sword.
Sweet.
Uh, 18 to hit.
Oh, that hits. Yeah.
Darn right it does. All right, one second. Got it. Okay, cool. Yeah. And then... Four. Okay, 1d10. And definitely not that one. Okay. Me do 9 damage on it.
Well, you actually, this is the guy that was previously injured, and you bring down your slash and you go through his tongue and his shoulder and right out his farther other pec, and you just take him down.
Yay! Oh! All right, me get second attack. What is next highest challenge rating creature?
They're both the same. There's the one that is holding off Grimmel with a hand, and the one that is kind of also up next to you. He's the one that I think swung at you and missed. Oh, no, swung at Poplart and missed.
All right, well then me take care of closer creature that swung at Poplart.
Okay, yeah, that was the one that Poplar had cut in the face.
Yeah. Okay. Alright, that is 22 to hit.
Oh, that hits.
Four. Nine. Yes. Me do 13 damage on that one.
Oh, yeah. There's just not a body left. You hit him so hard that he liquefied.
Nice. Freya! Me yell in triumph yet again.
Nice.
Poplar just kind of side-eyes him and it's like, yeah, I didn't.
Well, Poplar, it is your turn, so you can just be like, uh-huh, and then just take a shot.
The
one that's holding out Grimmel.
Who's the next closest? All right, and can I, like, slink around and to be, like, discreet in my...
Okay.
Attack?
Yeah, you're definitely... Like,
hidden things? Hidden. That'd be a 25 in my sneak. All right. Which puts me at... 12 plus...
Yeah, I'd say that...
That's 26 damage. And so like, if he dies, then Papa wants to cut off its head from sneakily behind and goes,
Bruce.
Who would it be? What was the familiar's name again?
Wait, how much? Well, hold on. How Papa much
just cuts off the head
do?
And goes, Bruce!
Yeah, you cut him off. You the head is severed.
26. Yeah. Yeah. So as Barry shouts out, Freya! Pop, like, sneaks away and goes, Bruce!
Very nice. Nicely done. Yep.
And suddenly, yeah. Grimmel is released from the grasp.
I'm doing great today.
And Pop, like, just kind of gives Grimmel a wink.
What honor brought to Zaratan today?
Zaratan doesn't need no honor.
I really can't wait till I'm level 13 and can use my cannonball Fair torpedo enough. Method.
Well, anyway, you guys successfully killed everyone in there, so good job. You're now in this room with several open graves and a passageway to the south.
All right. Me going...
Poplight offers the head to Grimmel and says, here you go, shiny eyes, just for you.
Me going to take a moment and cast Cure Wounds on Foxglove.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, the smell of half-burnt brownies permeate
the air. 5 plus 7 is 12. It's not a failure. And I'm using a second level spell slot on her. So, let me see. I think that's... It's not good at all. I want to say, I think it's 2d8, but I'm not sure. Yeah, 2d8. Not very nice. That's 12 plus. Plus 7. 19 damage restored.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, well, second level spell slots are helpful.
Also in this room, as you guys are recovering from this, a moment happens where Poplart, you wander towards, kind of close towards Grimmel, and the acoustics of this room cause the locket in Grimmel's satchel to just echo, and you all hear this like harmonic singing throughout the chamber.
Where do that noise come from? You just look around in confusion.
Well, you'd, I thought, heard this one before when you were up in the other room, so you should recognize it.
Let me have short memory.
Fair.
All right, what does Grimmel do? After all the singing is coming out of his pocket.
That's kind of stand there and be like, anyways, let's move on to the next room, guys.
All right. Grimmel says move on, so I guess we move to south.
All right. So the passageway to the south first turns to the east, and then you find that it's a bit disorienting as you turn again to the south before heading west. It takes you down a long passageway. You feel almost like you're descending a bit, like you're getting deeper into the soil, into the earth. And then suddenly it makes a hard right as you turn to the north, meeting a T-junction. As you look left and right, you see to the left a doorway. It is... Let me make sure to get to the notes for this one. A very nice looking stone door. And... Wait, did I just read the wrong one? Oh, sorry. Wrong door. I read the wrong note. This one is a simple wooden door. And then as you look to the right, down to the east, you see a stairwell descending down into the darkness. There is a slight draft coming up from below that smells dank and vile.
Oh, great. me try a wooden door first.
All right. You find that the door is unlocked and you begin to push on it. From within, you hear a raspy hissing sound.
Right? Well, me not scared. Me push open door, rest away.
All right. As you push open the door, you find a room approximately 30 feet wide and 50 feet long. So it's like 30 feet east-west, 50 feet north-south. You come in the center of the room on its east side, and in the far corners, the northwest and the southwest corners, you see what looks almost like an armored, an armored zombie-looking creature with a recurve bow knocking an arrow into it.
Let me quickly yank door closed.
Okay. Oh, that was weird.
That was Abby's microphone falling out of the holder.
Oh, nice. Well, in any case...
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so you slam the door closed and you're back on the other side.
Yes. Does me hear arrow thunking into door?
Nope. There is no sound whatsoever. Door closed. Everything falls silent. Fair.
All right, weird. Did me notice anything else in room?
Not particularly. Not from your brief look in and look around, at least.
We should have just hit the Death Potter.
Be the ogre?
Yeah.
Well, you can always suggest it.
Well, yeah, you make the decision to go in.
Abby's still working on her mic. All right. Decisions. Me thinking. All right, me open door again.
Okay.
jump in room and rush towards zombie with bow.
Okay. So let's see. What you're not, you can get there in a dash action. So there's two of them. There's one to the north and one to the south. Which one are you going for?
Which was the one that was knocking an arrow at me before?
Well, they both are. They look identical.
Oh. Okay. All right. So me dash to one in south and kind of make sure the one to the south is between me and the one to the north.
Okay, so you basically body slam it into the corner and you're blocking it.
Yeah, I'm making sure that it is between me and the one to the north. So if the one to the north fires an arrow, it will hit the zombie first.
Right on. All right, so you do slam into it and you've got it held there, kind of in a stunned state. What do the others do?
I decide to start my redemption arc by casting Eldritch Blast, like, immediately.
Okay.
Probably the one that's stunned, because I've been humbled today.
Well, I'm holding the one that's stunned.
Then the other one.
Right, you blast in through the door and fire at that northwest corner.
11 to hit.
That does not hit.
I figured. Whenever I'm, like, rolling in between things, I roll great. And then when I roll, guess what I roll? 4.
Yeah. It happens.
We all have nights like that.
All right. It has a chance now. I'm going to give it the next position. That one in the upper corner. To take a shot at you. And so it fires its longbow. And 18 to hit.
Who's it aiming at?
Grimmel?
Yeah.
Yeah, that hits.
Oh, shoot. Sorry, I read the wrong thing. It's only 16 to hit.
Still hits.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I figured... Let you know. So that does 8 piercing damage as the arrow stabs into your body.
Oh, lovely.
Yep. And it's a crude looking nasty arrow. Alright. We can either, let's see. Well... It goes to one of your other guys, so either Poplart the Ogre or Foxglove. Do you guys want to roll for it, or just announce who wants to go?
I'd rather roll than go, so...
Alright, then I will roll for the Ogre. He gets a 12.
Foxglove gets an 8.
Okay.
I shall roll for Poplart, who... Needs to reset my also dice 12. Settings. All right.
Well, I'm just gonna hit
that's
the,
12.
Organizer, and we'll see where you land. They went. So, Poplart, you get to go next.
All right. Poplart tries to hide behind the door frame or whatever as we're going into the room.
Be about a 45-foot shot.
Maybe from
to
above.
The upper corner from where you're at. Cool.
It's sweet. Still in the range. The 20 to 60 foot works out.
That hits.
All right. And that's an 18 to hit. All right. That is 7 plus 8. 15.
Alright.
That's 29 damage.
Arrow slams into its armor, piercing straight into its chest. Alright. the ogre then pushes through the door past everyone.
All right.
And it lets out a scream as it charges, wow, deftly across the room. And let's just say it's so big that it doesn't quite get there, but it completely blocks the area in front of it as it's like, argh! So then, Foxglove, it's you.
Alright. So, do I go rapier or vicious mockery?
Well,
vicious mockery
away
has a better track record.
And you'd have to charge.
Yeah, you'd have to use a dash action to get in range with your rapier.
Vicious mockery it is. Alright, what is the description of this monster, would you say?
Armored zombies?
Yeah.
Oh, so you heard the comment about the limp dick and thought you needed this. Well, forgot to tell you this. It ain't Viagra. It's not working out, hon. It's just not. 19 to hit.
He's like, yeah, that hits.
Only 3 damage.
Yeah, but that was 3 damage to the soul.
Why do you just assume all these zombies are guys?
I don't know. It looked. Alright, I apologize.
It's working.
Yeah.
All
right. Don't be sexist. Hush
you two.
You keep making jokes about
their
penises.
You gotta hit them where it hurts.
We do live in a magical world. They could be women as well. Just, you know,
yes.
Going
or it could
transition.
Be a guy whose penis has decomposed. Just fallen off.
That's what I'm
missing. Well, then Viagra especially won't help them.
Probably the worst part in a zombie guy's life. Instead of menopause, they go through, lose their dick, and it just falls off.
And it's their unlife.
Maggots.
Oh, God. All right.
This devolved quickly.
All zombie male murdered, neutered.
Barry, it's your turn anyway.
Alright. Me release zombie Mew is holding me, take a step back, and then make mighty overhand swing at zombie in front of me.
Okay, go for it.
Uh, 19 to hit.
Oh, that hits.
Alright. Alright. Roll for damage. Let's see here. That is 9 slashing damage.
Okay.
And got then it. And then me roll to attack again.
Yeah.
That is only 11 to hit that time.
Yeah, that one does not hit.
Yeah, me not surprised.
Yeah. But we are at Grimmel. Grimmel, you have a chance.
Alright. Can one of my attacks finally hit? Find out.
So bear in mind that your ogre is completely blocking the one that you had shot at before. The most open one right now is the one that's closest to Barry.
Sure. I'll use Chill Touch instead.
Okay.
Let's just roll to see if it even hits.
Sure.
14.
Let's make it fun. You hit.
Alright. Finally. I keep rolling, like, below 8. This sucks. Oh yeah, and then undead have a disadvantage on attack rolls until end of the next turn. And
okay. Because of the chill touch?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
That's 9 necrotic damage.
9 necrotic damage, and it's the chill of the grave. Huh. Fascinating.
It calls to them.
Yeah. Alright. Make a note that it has disadvantage. Alright. Well, the one up at the ogre is his turn. He draws out his long sword and moves to strike. Let's see here. Oh yeah, he nat 20s that one. So, okay. What is that damage? That is 1d10 plus 2. Wow, okay. Find it. There it is. 8. That is 10 damage doubled to the ogre.
Oh, Jesus.
Well. And let me read this last thing, because this creature has a weird extra dealio that makes him do a constitution save, which he's actually got a decent constitution. He might do well, except for when I nat 1. Oops.
Our DM has it in for us.
Hit point maximum is reduced by the amount taken. The reduction... he is reduced to 0 hit points. All right. So the ogre is dead.
It is a... I know.
Well, time to tear up his contract too.
No.
Yeah.
At least we know the contracts are kind of working.
Yeah, they kind of are. All right, it goes to the one in front of Barry, who
has disadvantage. Right.
Yes, that's right. He rolls at disadvantage to you. I could not have been further apart on those two rolls for disadvantage, so he goes down to a 6 to hit.
He misses.
He gets real angry. He has... Let's see. He actually does have 2 attacks, so he makes another swing, and that one is even worse.
So, he parries both strikes expertly.
All right, Poplar.
All right.
You'd have to cross the room.
Is there anywhere that Poplar can actually get out of the range?
Stay in the doorway and
hide behind Barry.
Well, both of them. Well, then, yeah, you're very expertly hidden.
But how far? Yes, stay in the doorway, and that's a nat 20 on hiding. All right. So from upside down, since they won't expect me that way.
That hits.
Upload.
Which one are you shooting at?
Fires at an arrow with 20 to hit.
I just assumed, but I wanted to verify.
Yes.
Jeez. All right.
That's 20 damage.
Ah! Good shot. No, they did not. All right, we are to Foxglove.
They didn't see it coming.
Upright. Vicious mockery again. Closest guy.
Well, if you're still in the door, they're both equally close to you.
Then pick one of them.
All right, how about the one that's next to Barry? Because you're trying to stay on his good side.
Sure. Like, that is thing. Okay, yeah. We'll go with that. Well, sure.
How about because Poplar shot at him, so you just watch Poplar hit, and you're like, wow, I could do some damage to that guy, too.
Okay, let's go with that logic. All right. Wow, you took a You took an arrow and then still didn't go down? Really? Are you really living for that much? Kind of pathetic, if you ask me. Like, you ain't looking good, dude. No one thinks you look good. Just end it all now. Like, come on.
Jesus Christ.
19 to hit.
Oh, that hits. Yeah, that hits. He's like,
5 damage.
Well, yeah, he puts his hands to his head and he's just shaking his head back and forth like, ah. it worked. All right, Barry, he's in front of you shaking his head back and forth.
Right. Me take another mighty overhand swing at him.
Awesome.
Let's see, what's that? Looks like that looks like only 12 to hit.
That does not hit.
Nope. Well, me recover and me take yet another swing at him.
Okay. The first that one was better. Your wind up.
Exactly. Second one was 23 to hit.
Oh, that hits.
All right. All right. 6 slashing damage.
And that's all it takes. You did your wind up and you cleft him in twain.
Oh, good.
Put him out of his misery.
It's a good thing that with that fine long sword, I can roll 2d10 and take the higher roll because I rolled a 1 and a 2.
That's awesome. Well, it worked.
Yep.
So you, right. you slayed him. And that puts us to Grimmel.
Yeah. Well, I want to waste spell slots.
Well, is an Eldritch Blast a cantrip?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I've been using, just cantrips. Eldritch Blast again! Can I please roll?
One good roll.
Yay! 22!
See, oh, that hits.
Yeah, as soon as I roll above a 10, I'm fine, but I've just been rolling single digits this entire night, except for the one nat 20 on a dex check, of all things.
Well, that was a good dex check, because otherwise that would have crushed you. It really hurt Foxglow.
Alright, it's 2d6, but I also have an invocation that adds that, blah, blah, blah. 10 plus charisma. 18.
Good lord. Yeah, you blast into him, and he flies backwards, hitting the wall. And is just like, if he could breathe, he'd be breathing heavily. He's barely able to keep standing. So just in game terms, just so you know, he has literally 1 hit point left.
Nice.
Like, that's what you guys blasted him to. So he's back at the back, just like, you hear this, like, mumbling coming from him. And he kind of falls down to the ground, crawls over, and starts slapping the ground at the feet of your fallen ogre, at which point the ogre begins to rise, picking itself up. And he stands. The guy, not the ogre. The ogre's trying to get up.
Kill it quickly!
He stands. He looks around. He looks to the south. Grabs his bow and takes a single shot down at Barry. And that is
The zombie shoot at me or the ogre shoot at me?
The zombie.
Okay.
Like one of his last things. He's stumbling. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's a 22 to hit. Holy crap.
Yeah, that definitely hits.
But it only hits for 3, so never mind.
Okay.
You, like, kind of glanced off, and you're just like, that just made me mad.
Perfect. That's a good setup, then.
Yeah, so he's like, he's hanging on barely. The ogre's rising. Poplar, what do you do?
Go in to finish off the guy before this.
Well, remember, he's pretty far across the room.
Begins. Just charge in and
45 feet from you.
How far across? I cannot do it.
Ah!
So try to do. Oh my goodness.
From where were you sniping? Just in the doorway?
One snipe shot, and I got a nat one.
All right.
So can he hit the ogre instead?
Well, no, I mean, because the other players are there with him. Because, you know, Grimmel and Foxglove both stayed at the door. You're the only one that rushed in.
Good point.
So I'm going to say he goes to shoot. Let's see, who's one and where's number two? All right, rolling a 1d4, you accidentally shoot Grimmel.
Gee, thanks.
Well, the good news is it's not a sneak attack shot.
I just imagine Poplar like planning to jump down from his perch.
Six damage.
And he just instead slips, falls, the arrow flies, and it just like hits you, and you're like, dang it! There you go. Perfect.
Yeah, and then as a bonus action, quickly hide. 26 awesome. To hide.
Like, all right. The dead ogre is now fully on its feet, and it begins. It looks around the room, and let me just roll a direction. All right, so it's seeing the group begins to make its way over to you, stopping just shy in its kind of lethargic movement of getting to where it can see Grimmel and Foxglove. And Foxglove, it's your turn. There's this big undead ogre looking at you.
How close is he?
5 feet away.
All right, rapier it is.
Maybe 10 feet, but whatever. Yeah, all right.
Rapier.
Yeah.
16 to hit.
Oh, that hits.
Alrighty.
9 damage.
Nice. Keep hitting that 9. Alright, you had stabbed it in and ripped it out. He's still standing there, but you did, I mean, you poked him. Barry, there's the guy barely standing on the far side of the room, like 50 feet away from you to the due north. And there's this lumbering ogre going at your party at a diagonal, probably about 45 feet away. What do you do?
All right. me move. Let's see. I can move 30 feet, right? Yes. Nope. Wait a minute. Yep. 30. All right. Me move 30 feet. North, and then me cast javelin at zombie.
Nice. All right.
You gotta be kidding me. Me getting at one.
Oh my god. All right. Well, oh man, what are we going to do for this? You got to have something because you're throwing it, you're casting it, there's no party members over there. Oh man.
Well, and this is the magic javelin, so I guess the worst thing that could happen is it could hit something and break.
Well, I don't think it'll break, but I think it, like, you overthrow it and it kind of goes sideways and the tip bends.
Okay.
So it's like jammed in its position currently. You're going to have to strength check it to get it out. And it's kind of bent into that position.
All right. That makes sense.
All right. You still have an action, though, don't you? Oh, no, that is your action because you threw that.
Well, I mean, I have two attacks, and I didn't dash, but I moved my full range. So, I mean, the ogre is still 15 feet, and I
think... Throw your sword.
No, I'm not going to throw my sword. All right, I guess I'm done.
Okay, Grimmel, you got this lumbering ogre coming down at you. What do you do?
Just flashing in his face like a crucifix, like, back, I own you! You know what? Sure, why not?
Use the contract.
Pull the contract. Use that as a crucifix.
Roll intimidate.
Alright. Dirty 20.
Did you hear she got a dirty 20 on that?
Yeah, I did. I'm just... I'm trying to decide what we do here because he is very stupid, even in a live or dead form. I'm going to give him... I'm going to say you actually successfully confuse him. So he's stopped in his tracks. And he now has disadvantage against... You know, he'll have disadvantage this next turn. Or if someone wants to hit him, they'll have advantage against him.
The power of Grimmel compels you.
There you go. All right. The one guy, though, he's going to pull out his longbow and start shooting at Barry. And he nat ones. Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
All right. I'm just going to... No, I'm going to end this even better. He goes to draw his bow. And it's one of those, like, real high tension ones. And right when he goes, because he's so weak, he goes to release it. And the arrow snaps in half because he slightly overdraws and it flexes. And a piece flies back and hits him in the eye. And then that's what kills him.
What a way to go. I finally did something at the end.
So he falls dead.
The ogre's still going.
Yeah, and then the ogre's still standing there. Poplart, there you have a staggered ogre that you can see from your hiding spot. Oh, it's close. Like 10, 15 feet.
What's the range for me right now?
Awesome. All right. I'm just going to give this to you and say you bury that dagger in and you ride him to the ground.
The doorway. It goes straight for the eyes and gets a nat 20.
Y'all go ahead and yeah, you can roll it up.
This with a high shrilled.
That would have killed him anyway.
I'm actually
so,
curious
yeah.
how much damage I would deal. Holy shit. That would be, it would have been 26 on a crit. Yeah. So you just see, this little shadow come from the doorway.
That's kind of give like a slow golf clap.
Bury
for
the
him.
Dagger in the eye of the ogre and ride it to the ground.
Me walk over, pat Poplart on back and go, well struck, Poplart. Well struck.
Thank you. Poplar just kind of eyes Grimmel.
All right, first off, like, screw you. Second off,
this battle
you're not
went
very good
very
at
well.
Hiding your
no
true
mistakes
thoughts.
Ever happened the entire way.
Well, maybe he was asking
what
you out
mean?
On a date.
That seems very rude. Come on, Grandma, we're bestest of friends.
Good response.
A date?
No, that's not what me meant.
I don't want
Never mind, fruit. Anything this guy says, I don't care about.
All right, so in this space, the door I misread before is to the north. It is stone, it looks massive, and down near where Barry had conflicted that one guy, or had gotten to conflict with that one guy, on the west wall, there is a what looks like a simple wooden door going to the west.
Okay, so we have a stone door in the north and a wooden door to the west?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, first, me go to northern part of room and yank out a javelin.
Oh, yeah, I need to make a strength check on that.
Yeah.
That is only an 11.
See, so what I was looking for is how much it potentially got bent. So if you'd done slightly better, it would have been less bent, but with an 11, it's quite bent.
Okay, so pretty well useless until me get it repaired then.
Well, you can still throw it, just know that it'll throw like a, well, like you're throwing a bow.
Rain javelin. Ills, come back.
Yeah. Yeah, me not gonna trust me. Me will get it fixed once we're done with this quest.
Poplar just looks at it and goes, Barry!
In the meantime, it'll just do like
that was my
minus
present!
Because it's bowed.
Alright.
I'm just trying to think of like what a consequence of a bowed javelin would be, and that's like the simplest thing I could think of.
Yeah, well, you'd probably stop using it until you can get it fixed.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but I don't know. I didn't want to go that far.
Anyway, all right. me
like
think
disadvantage
that
advantage on a hit or something.
Given everything's be good chance for us to stay in this room and lick our wounds.
Story wise, if you could keep going a little further.
Okay.
All right.
I guess me try stone door then.
Cool. You find the stone door to be stuck.
Yes.
Great. I love it when our efforts are for nothing.
me put shoulder into stone door.
All right. How's your strength roll?
Me only get 8 on that.
It does not move.
Yeah.
Me. All right. Step aside. And I push Barry out of the way, crack my knuckles, and that's a nat 20 on the strength check. Let's go. God.
Well, I was thinking more along the lines of Barry's there, and you're like, here, I'll help. And you, like, find this, like, one little key rock, and you just, like, pull it, and then push, and it just flies open.
Yeah, that works.
Kind of brush a little bit of, like, dust off my shoulder, and, like, confidently strut into the next room.
Nice. All right. What you find here is just a small, like, antechamber. There's a portcullis due north ahead of you that you can see leads into a relatively deep room, and a doorway to your right.
So, portcullis to north that leads into another room?
Yep.
And then a door to my right?
Yes, on the east, just as you come in.
Okay, go look at the portcullis.
All right, it is a standard, let me double check that actually, let me check my notes. Oh, it is an iron portcullis. You can tell that, but you can look through it and see there's no other passages out of this room, and there's something in there that they definitely wanted protected behind this hefty iron portcullis.
Ah, me gonna try to lift portcullis.
Okay, It's going to be a heavy one, just to let you know.
Me get 19.
By yourself, you put everything into it, and you're only able to get it up just a couple of inches before it slips back down.
All right. Me look for any chains or handles to lift portcullis.
You don't see any around it or in this room.
Okay. Then I guess me go back and try wooden door.
All right. So the door opens to a little passageway that goes to, you go in, and then it seems to parallel the room next to you. And at the end is a little slit that you can see through, and there is a lever on the wall.
Me reach into slit and pull lever.
All right. As you do, you hear the crunching of rope and gears and the grinding of iron against, well, stone.
Oh. Me get excited. Me run back to look at portcullis.
It is up, and you can freely walk into the next room.
Yeah. Me do so.
Right. Wow, sounds smart.
So this room is about, again, this is about 30 feet wide and 50 feet long. So 50 feet north, south, and 30 feet east, west. The walls on the east and west have what look like opposing demonic masks staring at each other. And in the center of the room, there is a small column, and sitting on it is a dagger that has a knotwork spine and a green emerald inlay with like a snakeskin or a dragonskin handle.
Ooh. Oh, it's cursed. I want it.
Oh,
yes, Poplar, you are entranced. You are drawn to it. Grimmel, who said I want it? Grimmel?
Poplar starts walking towards it.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Grimmel, your arcana senses are tingling.
Well, I can only assume. Makes sense. No, like that.
No, like you are in a pool of arcana.
I want it even more.
Okay, well, I guess it's going to come down to who gets there first in that case, because Poplart is definitely focused on it.
Nah, fly dash there first.
Okay, who has the faster dash speed?
Poplart dashes in.
Yeah, I've got 30 feet speed.
All right. Hold on. I'm gonna roll something for each of you.
I think we're equal.
Now, each of you roll the d20 straight and tell me what you get.
Oh, I think...
8.
8? Well, I rolled separate rolls for each of you to compete. So, you're 14. Flying at this thing. And, Grimmel, you're getting ahead. And Poplart's neck and neck. But you're just, like, advancing. And then right as you get there... You go to grab it, and he pushes you out of the way, just like bumps into you, almost like a hip check. And you bump to the side, but he gets his hand on it, and just as he does, there is a bright flash of light, and you look back, and he's gone.
Good thing I didn't get to it then. Oh, that was right.
All you hear
it was
is
definitely
a,
cursed.
Distinct, like an echoing.
But so you witness this, and everyone in the room that's around here, so everyone that's left in the room, you hear a very low level chuckle just echo through the chamber.
Great.
This can only mean good things. Never met up someone with a dark chuckle I didn't like.
And that is where we'll end the episode.
Perfect. So I'm guessing the dagger also disappeared, right?
Yes.
Perfect. All right. Excellent.
Ah. Hey, thank you. I really wanted to wrap the Poplart part out of the story. So, yeah, you know, now fine. Going forward. Plus, I thought it was awesome. I actually did have each. I rolled two d20s, one for each of you guys to see, you know, who would become closest. And I rolled a 15 on Poplart and 11 on Grimmel. So it was actually close.
Nice.
I love that for that entire session. I kept rolling like fours.
That was hilarious.
Not for me, it wasn't. I got two nat 20s, like, and everything else was awful. And guess what? Those two nat 20s were on a dex save and a strength save, neither of which really mattered a super ton.
I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen now when I'm away. I'm going to intentionally not listen to the sessions to keep Poplart ignorant about everything that goes on.
With this.
And, you know, just kind of keep him isolated for the next few weeks. Well, just because then he can stay completely ignorant to, you know, what exactly happened. So when I come back, I can revise, you know, go back and listen to the things. But for at least the first session, just like not listen to anything. So when I can actually come back, be like,
Oh, there will be, Poplart will be on an adventure. It'll just be a different one.
That sounds okay.
This has been an Azentuary LLC production. Find us online at azentuary.com for character bios, merchandise, Patreon, and more. Thank you for listening.